Every day I'm shuffling. This episode of the Coin Spice Podcast is brought to you by Cash Shuffle. Because what you do with your money is your business. To give this new product a try for fungibility and privacy, head on over to electroncash.org, download their latest wallet 4.0.0, and give it a spin. CashShuffle.com for more information, because what you do with your money is your business.
What is really going on, crypto savages? You are listening to the Coin Spice Podcast with host C. Edward Kelso, editor-in-chief at coinspice.io, your home for spicy crypto things on the net.
In our world, in the Coin Spice world, when you say Joshua Davis, we know that he is our go-to shitposter. Like, we go to get, you know, laughs and yucks, and also to get offended and triggered. He's just the man. So first off, man, thanks so much for coming on the Coin Spice Podcast. We really appreciate it.
Pleasure to be here.
So let's kind of get into your background a little bit as the man on crypto Twitter that we love to go to and read and kind of see what you're thinking. You sort of define the zeitgeist for us, but I guess sort of the obvious question is, how did you find crypto? How did you get into it?
A friend got me into crypto very early on in 2011, and I was interested in the space, but I wasn't involved in any social media. I had no Facebook, nothing, and pretty much stayed that way for the next, well, for the next 2 years. Then I started slowly easing into social media, started squatting my Twitter handle in 2014, didn't start using it until 2017, which is also when I stopped using crypto, pretty much.
2017?
Yeah, pretty much once, when Bitcoin hit 10K, I was like, this is out of control.
Now, okay,
I was like,
so...
I'm out. And right, I pretty much turned skeptic.
And that allows you some freedom, right? So if you're not a bag holder, if you're not, you know, pushing a certain coin or whatever, and yet you're familiar with the culture and you're familiar with all the grandiose promises and sort of the religiosity, it allows you to kind of step back and poke at them a bit, right? But how would you describe what you do on Twitter?
I would describe it as making jokes. Pointing out the absurdity that people are taking far too seriously.
And it's funny because you will hit upon something and I don't really realize how far I'm indoctrinated in sort of my own, you know, loving the smell of my own farts until I read something you say and it's so damn cutting. You posted you call it more crypto cringe, and you'll post a video and I'll see these girls, you know, dancing and trying to make their funny song about cryptocurrencies or whatever, and I'll kind of like it just for the fact that, one, they're female, two, they have anything to say at all about cryptocurrency. It's relatively positive, and you'll just kill them, you'll just murder them right then and there. I think that's so hilarious. But What kind of reactions do you get from people in the space when you do things like that?
Oh, I get the entire spectrum. It's funny to me because I'm mutuals with people in, call it, all the crypto camps, you know, from Bitcoin maximalist, Bcash people, XRP people that I'm mutuals with, just straight shit coiners, degen gamblers, and the ones who get it, and, you know, they're in on everything. But the ones who don't, it's kind of funny, they only like when I'm shitting on the other camps.
Right.
But the reactions I get are, especially when something, like, takes off, they get really aggressive, which I find really funny.
It does just feed you, doesn't it?
I find it hilarious because it's like, well, this stuff's objectively cringe. And they're like, well, you're... It's like, and me pointing out that it's cringy isn't going to hurt your investment. I in no way have any impact on what the price is going to be, for God's sake.
Oh, can you kind of give us some of your biggest hits? Like what are the tweets? I mean, I have my favorites, of course, but what are some of the ones that might have went, you know, quasi-viral and stuff that just really took off?
The biggest tweet I had was one last August. I compared two New York Times headlines, the one from January, the famous, "Everyone is getting rich and you're not."
With the guys with the sweaters?
Yeah, the guys with the sweaters, exactly.
I love that.
I put that side by side with a article from that day, I believe it was August 20th, that said, "After the cryptocurrency boom, hard lessons learned," and had like a sad guy at his computer.
And
I think my caption was just January 13th versus August 20th. And that got like, I think 14,000 likes. And
wow.
So that was the tweet I had that took off the most. But I think the most recent tweet that took off the most was I photoshopped a pump tweet. And I had to say, "My mom just died. Bitcoin never dies. 3 rocket emojis." And I actually had several people unfollow me for that and DM me and say it was not okay.
I am laughing because I agree with them that you're a terrible person.
Yeah, that's what I heard too.
I'm trying to.
A terrible person.
I want a virtue signal so bad, but I can't do it because that's friggin' hilarious. I think I remember seeing it. Yeah.
I mean, it's not like his mom died or anything,
right? And he didn't kill
her.
She's fine. It's just Twitter. Yeah, that's hilarious. And the pomp. I don't want to turn into bashing pomp, but the idea.
He's just such a great guy. He does so much for the space. You know, how can I say anything bad?
And he's so full of hopium. Like, people who should know better, friends of mine in the space, will sometimes shoot me some of his stuff, and I'll say, "Look, like, obviously I'm predisposed to like anybody who likes what I like. So, you know what I mean? Like, I'm gonna find that favorable, but this is garbage. Like, this is terrible thinking. This is really horrible way to look at, you know, like, not everything is good for crypto or for Bitcoin, you know, like there's, I mean, you know, like, oh, this could never happen and never happen." Okay. That's completely false. So now I don't really take, I think the reason you're so cutting is because you're not totally against crypto. Like, you're not one of these guys that just hate it, right? I'm not.
And I am friends with those guys as well. I really appreciate the work that they do. I would say that, you know, the ones that I'm friends with, Tim Swanson and David Girard, they do great work and they make excellent commentary and excellent points. But I'm not in that camp. I do think there's an absolute benefit to crypto and that it has use cases. I really dislike the culture. I really dislike everyone's hope that they're going to get rich off of it. I think that if you were actually quote unquote in it for the tech or in it for the use cases, you shouldn't give a shit what the price is or about price appreciation.
Right. And that's really, really difficult to look beyond. And I find myself having a lot of trouble with it as well. So for all that I talk about, you know, the grandiose claims of helping people in Venezuela, God damn it, it's down 20% today.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah.
And no. I think that's kind of where my, like, not issue, but that's where I kind of, like, go at about the community, is that they want to have it both ways. They want to play that it's about helping people and wealth distribution and the world and all this great stuff. All they give a shit about is that the number on their screen is bigger today than it was yesterday. All they care is that, you know, it's going up. And it's fine. That's totally fine. Then own it. That, like, this is a speculative asset. Yeah, I'm buying it. I hope it appreciates. And just cut out all the other bullshit.
And I think probably the best example, the one that really brought you into my orbit, I'll let you kind of get into the particulars, but it speaks exactly to what you're talking about. There was a fairly prominent crypto project that, you know, it turns out was under the gun of again, this to my way, it very, very much feeds my way of thinking. So in the way that I think, and I'm not speaking for the entire crypto community, but I'm saying there's a certain large representation that I'm speaking for, I guess, you know, all regulation is bad. All regulators are evil. And if you feel that way, the way that I do, then it's kind of easy to make me into a useful idiot. You can sort of press the right buttons with me and I will go along with you. So there was a project that actually sort of used my sympathies and started to want to raise money to sort of defend all crypto against, you know, these ogres that are coming in, these jackbooted thugs to, you know, stomp me down. And you had just an unbelievably sobering answer to that. So can you kind of go into that saga a little bit? Because that's fantastic.
Yeah, sure. So the messaging app Kik, which if you're familiar with it, is shit, launched a token way back called Kin, raised a bunch of money, did nothing, token's useless, nobody uses it. And Fred, one of their investors, launched this defend crypto project because they were under investigation. Well, I guess they were getting word that they were going to get sued by the SEC. So this defend crypto project, and that day I bought defundcrypto.org and made a parody website about.
So just to go back for a second, because I don't want to lose the plot here, the Kin and Kik people were dead serious, and the way they offered it up was that they were sort of the Christ-like martyrs for the community, and if we have this legal fund, then the big boys will think twice about coming after us again. And this
yeah, so every
traction, right?
Every aspect of this is completely ridiculous. These are people at Union Square Ventures. These are VCs that have a ton of money trying to raise money from crypto bag holders to defend a project that already raised hundreds of millions of dollars. I think that they already have the money to... They just want to pass the buck. They don't want to absorb the cost.
It's a really interesting object lesson, and the reason that I think it's so important to focus on it, because there's so many lessons here. A lot of people who are into crypto are new to investment. They're new to sort of the old schemes and ways of kind of bilking and tricking people. So we have to kind of relearn these lessons. You know, some people are a little bit more savvy than others, but we have a lot of young people, a lot of people who've never, you know, had a chance to, you know, for all the, you know, I just bashed people who wanted to get rich, but you can make some money in the space. Whereas before there were so many barriers to entry, you couldn't. So we get a lot of people from all over the world who kind of need to learn this Kin Kik lesson, right? So you have these guys coming out talking to you, like you say, they raised, you know, tens of millions, if not hundreds of millions of dollars. And now they want to sort of become the martyrs. And this, it did get a lot of traction, right? I mean, like there were prominent people say, hey, you should definitely donate to this.
Oh, I don't think it actually got real traction.
Okay.
So I think that the donations from real people were pretty minimal. And a lot of the like donations that appeared to have been donated were like from them in crypto, from them and their buddies.
Got it.
So it was to create the appearance that a lot of people had already donated.
And so you immediately saw right through this. And
oh, yeah. It's complete bullshit. I saw it the second it came up.
And so you bought the domain name defundcrypto?
Defundcrypto.org. And then I stayed up that night drinking whiskey, and I just built out the website and launched it the next morning.
And my favorite part of it is on a laptop or whatever, the bottom right, where they can sign up for a newsletter or message you, a message of hate, and you talk about how you're a Navy SEAL and you'll crush them.
Oh, I love the Navy SEAL copypasta meme is a good meme, for sure.
I love that. So how was Defund Crypto, the website, sort of the reaction to them, how was that taken? What did people say about it?
Reaction was taken really well. People really thought it was funny, responded well to it. Jemima Kelly at Financial Times reached out. She wrote a good piece on it. And it's funny because she reached out to me and it lined up right with the SEC actually dropping their charges. So that story got fleshed out a lot more in between us talking and the story being released, because all that happened within the span of like a week from Defend Crypto launching and then actual charges being brought.
And do you know what's come of that? Like where are we in that particular saga?
Oh, I actually don't know where we're at with those charges. And, but it is really funny that, that any of this is happening to them.
I mean, it's sort of, I mean, obviously, you know, hindsight is 2020, that they were doing this as a, maybe a, you know, allegedly as a PR move.
What was in the documents, they had like minutes from their board meeting that it was, that the actual, oh, you're saying the Defend Crypto was a PR move.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I wonder how much of it was a PR move and how much of it they actually wanted to, raise money and not pay the legal fees themselves.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. But you were saying something about their board minutes?
Yeah, yeah. In the charges released by the SEC, their board minutes were saying that they had board members saying that the KIN token was a Hail Mary for the company. It's like pretty damning that they were just trying to do a cash grab.
And there's something called the Howey test that the SEC uses. How do you come down on sort of the broader question? So
I don't know. I'm not a huge fan of regulators and regulations and all that, but I'm also a realist of we have to often work with the system that we're in and deal with it and hope for the best. You know, in a perfect world, here's what I say. In a perfect world, if someone does a scam and fleeces a bunch of retail investors and provides no value, they should be able to like go and shake him out themselves, you know?
The actual victims.
Yeah, the actual victims, you know? Because going through the process takes years and years, if it even gets there, and then what they get out of it in the end, you know how it goes.
Yeah.
But that's not a reality. I guess, you know, people should, there's a level of personal responsibility. People should exercise caution. But a lot of these scams out there are intended to prey on the most ill-informed people.
Right. And that I think, is sort of the perverse beauty of the cryptocurrency community, because they'll, you know, we have the Joshua Davises of the world who will then, you know, sort of come out and slay these dragons, so that I actually think you're more, I mean, this is maybe putting a little on it, but people like you and those who study scams and go after scammers and kind of poo-poo the hopium that pervades the ecosystem, I think you're actually more powerful than an SEC. That I think, you know, obviously not getting too deep into theory here, but you know, empowering these middle persons, these agencies, that's going to sort of fight our battles for us. I don't think ultimately does the ecosystem much good. But as you say, you know, there are legit scams where people are really, really trying to hurt other people. At least
there's legit scams, and you know, I was around and posting actively for some of those biggest scams like BitConnect. And nobody wants to hear it. When they're in the mania and the hype and they're being sold the dream and they're seeing the numbers go up and it looks good, absolutely nobody wants to hear it at all.
Yeah, you're the turd in the punch bowl, right? You're the guy yeah. who's kind of, yeah, you're so necessary because you recently posted something like screenshots of, you know, we'll never see 10,000 again, you know?
Yeah. And which is said every time exactly. We cross 10,000, it's said.
Yeah, and the problem there is that I don't believe necessarily those people are trying to scam anybody, but at the same time, have just a on their part, you know, have a little bit of humility. Have, you know, like step back and go, I have no earthly idea why this thing is hitting 10. You know, I have some, you know, guesses and there's some things, but you know, to outwardly come out and say, oh yeah, well it's supposed to be going in this direction. I think, you know, borders on the scammy, and having you there to sort of just, you know, a little bit of historical perspective, you know.
I'm really not a fan of price predictions for anything because I do think the price is a pretty unimportant aspect if you're interested in technology. And I post this like once a year. My Bitcoin price prediction is the same every year. It's up, up, down, down, left, right, BA start. It's always, always correct. And I think price predictions are so stupid. Like, just say you don't know what's going to happen. It's market. Like, you don't know. You can, it's fine to put forth like bullish or bearish arguments, but price targets are really stupid, especially in crypto. There's not fundamental analysis that can be performed on these assets.
And does it shock you as to how did these fellows and the same ones keep coming back? The ones that over and over again, where you can objectively show, as you do through screenshots, that these guys are full of crap.
It doesn't shock me at all because they have all of them have a huge audience. They have a much larger audience than me. And that's because they're telling people what they want to hear. And that's always going to play well. Everyone wants to hear they're going to get rich. Everyone wants to hear that they're on the right track. And as long as they keep doing that, they're getting that positive feedback loop and they're crafting their little echo chamber. And, you know, that's how it happens. That's why they're continuously wrong. That's why you've got people last year saying 50K end of year, like through August and September.
And they're back on CNBC again.
They sure are, because, you know,
yeah,
because everyone wants to hear what they want to hear, and they've crafted a following from that, and then people listen to the bullshit, and like I said, it's a feedback loop.
Yeah, it's nuts. So I think you're super important, and people like you are extremely important because it gives us a sense of perspective. And I always say, don't trust people who are not selling you something. But in this particular case, you're trying to move off of, you know, what are quite legitimate, I wouldn't say, I'll just say conflicts of interest, where people are pushing a certain idea. And you're trying to, you know, you're one of these guys that sort of intellectual free safety that can kind of jump between these camps and put a mirror up to them. And I think that's super, super important. Have you found that one crypto tribe is a slightly more sensitive than another? Like, is there anyone you could throw under the bus?
I don't want to throw any tribe blanket under the bus because, like I said, I have friends in every mm-hmm. tribe, from the diehard no coiners to the Bitcoin maximalists. I have people that I like consider good people that I DM with in every single tribe. Ethereum people, all of them. So there's no tribe that I would throw under the bus. I do think Bitcoin maximalists tend to be the most sensitive. And that's just because That's the group that has like the most large people that have me blocked.
Well that, and they have a, you know, a metric shit ton of money if you believe their hype.
I mean, yeah, it's like great. I've got my bitcoins too. Whatever.
All right. Well, very, very cool. Do you have any suggestions for the young budding shit posters out there who look up to you? How should they start and sit at the feet of the Grandmaster, Mr. Davis? Do you have any advice for them?
First off, too kind. Second off, don't be afraid to get banned. Don't be afraid to get suspended. And don't be afraid of what anyone's going to think, because who cares what people think?
So thanks again, man, for coming on. Really, really appreciate it. How do people follow your work? Where can they find you?
If you've sat through this, you can find me at CarbonBased on Twitter, CarbonBased. That's CarbonBased with a K.
Very cool, man. really, really appreciate it. It's great to have a laugh, and I'm dead serious. Thanks for everything that you do, and you do a lot of valuable work for us.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure.